very long 2 weeks from Christmas and now here New Year's, and we're trying to continue to move forward and do what God would have us to do. And I've got three different outlines this evening, and they all run together. And I want to share with you a few things that I believe that the Lord has laid on my heart. All of these that I'm working on, they're all the same thing. And it comes from what I believe that the Lord laid upon my heart earlier. This word this evening is a familiar word, but I cannot help but believe that it's what God would have me to do here on this afternoon. Again, we're talking about the word impact. If you were not here this morning when we looked at this in the service today, we look at how we're going to be able to impact other people and our communities and things. I'll get into that in a minute. But in this scripture, we see here again in the book of Acts, and we turn again to the book of Acts chapter number 2. Again, I'm only going to preach one section of this tonight, a segment of it, and I want to try to do this under the unction of the Holy Ghost and under the unction of the Spirit of God. Again, it's the scripture in the early church. How many of you know that this early church must have been an amazing church, amen, to see what God was doing and the power of God as God began to pour out His Spirit? One of the things that I ask us this afternoon is, why is it necessary that we become a praying church? I didn't get into all of that today. And the Bible gives us this as an example. And one of the things that we certainly wanted to point out to us this evening is prayer in the scripture was something that was done not only individually, but it was also done corporately. It's something that the body did together. And I wanted to point that out in the scripture again. When you look into the book of Acts chapter number 2, again, when you look in verse number 37, we pick this up, and we can pick up there where Peter again is preaching this message to those that was hearing him, those that was with them. It's the message of Jesus to the Jews. And again, it's where again Peter reminded them that you're the ones that hung Jesus on the cross. You're the one that crucified Jesus. And this is the same Jesus that you crucified. Again, Acts chapter number 1 is a reminder to us that, and we see this throughout other scriptures in the Bible, that the Bible says that this same Jesus that you see go away shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go. I'm amazed when Peter begins to preach to those that begin to hear him on that occasion, thinking that these men were just intoxicated under the power of some force of wine, if you will. He says that in Acts 2 and 13. Peter began to talk about this, and Peter began to tell them that they are drunk, but not like you suppose. Excuse me. And I talked about that this morning. Then Peter picks this up in verse 37. And it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Again, when Peter was preaching this word, those that was there and the individuals that heard Peter's message about Jesus, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, it drew them to a place in their life that decisions had to be made. As I read through that, and I thought to myself that is what the power of God will do. That's what the anointing of the Holy Spirit will do. It'll bring men, women, and boys and girls to a decision of what will I do with Jesus. Either I will accept the fact that Jesus Christ is exactly who Jesus Christ says he is, or I will deny that, and then I will be as an infidel and a unbeliever. But we look at the scripture in Peter, I like verse 38 says, and Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. When you look in verse number 38 in this latter part of the scripture, he said, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So may I resubmit unto you this afternoon as we move forward in how are we going to impact our community? How are we going to impact? How are we of the church going to make a difference? Well, one of the things, again, that Peter did, he called them to repentance, yes. But to remind you where we were at this morning is simply this, that they became a preaching church. They preached the word of God unto them, and they called them to repentance. Again, that they were told, for this promise is unto you and to your children. And he says, and to all that are afar off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, the Bible says in verse number 40, when we begin to look in verse number 40, look at what the Bible says. We don't know everything that Peter actually preached that day. Luke, the great physician that wrote and recorded the book of Acts, if you will, the physician that hung out with Jesus as well. It says there, and you look in verse number 40, excuse me, and with many other words, I'm sorry, guys. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves as unto our generation. And he says in verse number 41, and I really like that scripture, because he says this to them, and I might have jumped, maybe verse 40. Let me get me a drink of water. I don't normally do that, but I'm sorry. It happens every now and then, don't it? Did I skip a verse? Go into verse 41. 41 says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. About 3,000 souls that was added to them. I believe all of this is because somebody was praying. I believe this. Thessalonians, we see this in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. This is what the scripture says. It says here in the word of God in Thessalonians 5 and 17, a few little bitty words. It says, pray without ceasing. That it is a mode of prayer that we are to enter into in the church. This early church, when the Spirit of God began to move and the power of God began to move upon them, they understood the value of prayer. Again, the Bible reminds us here in the scripture, and it says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto the church about 3,000 souls. When we begin to think about prayer, it says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They preached the word. They had continuity. They had community among the believers. They were breaking bread. They were having communion. They were sharing one with another. They were having a meal together. I personally believe that when they were breaking bread, I personally believe that they were in communion together. Because Jesus taught them this, and Jesus said this in the book of Matthew, and then Paul even recorded this in 1 Corinthians 11, and it was a reflection and it was a reminder that Jesus, when Jesus would go away, Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of bread, in remembrance of me. He gave them the bread, and the bread represented his body. and the juice, if you will, represented his blood. And I believe when they came together, I believe that they had bread together. I believe that they had they broke bread together, and in that they remembered the things that Jesus said in the scripture. As you do this, you're remembering my sacrificial death. You're remembering me. You're remembering what I did. As often as you drink this juice, as often as you do this, you're remembering that I gave my life a ransom. Now, I don't know about you, but I began to think about that today, and I began to think about how important it is for you and I to continually to reflect upon what Jesus Christ has truly did for us. And my friend, prayer too can be a reflection. It's a time to come together, and it's a time to reflect. And then we see this again, how that they not only broke bread, but it talked about that how that they were there in prayer. So many times, and again, I'm not going to take the time tonight to go through every bit of this and talk about all of it. But there's one thing that I know for a fact, that this early church, they valued prayer. And if we're going to experience what I talked about a little bit ago about the presence of God, I believe that it's going to come on the wings of prayer. I believe that a church, when a church comes together and the church is praying and seeking God and interceding and all the things that goes along with prayer, I believe that God is going to show up, because they came together and they prayed and they sought God and they remembered to do this. And then God showed up. When you begin to look in the latter part of these verses, the Bible reminds us of a little bit about what I was talking about this morning. And it says, as they were there in prayer, that fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, that every man had need. Wouldn't that be wonderful today if we, as I mentioned this morning, take care of one another? And it says they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking the bread, and from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That right there, when you think about that, that is how we're going to be able to grow the church. It's exactly how he said right here. As the Lord, he says, as we come together in God's temple, we break bread, we fellowship, and again, we do it all for the glory of God. And singleness of heart simply means that we don't have a divided agenda. We have one agenda. And that's to seek the Lord and to seek God's glory and to see souls saved. You say, well, preacher, do we really, really, really need to be praying as much as you are saying that we need to be praying? May I borrow some statistics? And I know Brother Chris, he gives statistics a whole lot more than me. But I came across something and I thought that it was very, very interesting. And I'll give credit where credit's due. This information is compiled by the Billy Graham Association with Franklin Graham. How many of you ever heard that name before? And he talks about this, and he says, today more than 5.3 billion people are living without the hope that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. That's why we need to be praying. We need to be praying, because you think about this, and it says, but when we think of these numbers or these people in large numbers as a faceless crowd, it is easy to overlook every individual. But yet each one is an individual that hurts and has longings. Each one is a soul that's precious to God, for whom Jesus Christ died for. When you think about the souls of man today, and we think about humanity today, I believe today that there's enough people, and I'm not just trying to build numbers, understand that, but there's enough people within proximity of this church to fill this church over many times. But somebody's got to pray for those people. Somebody's got to pray for as Kathy was mentioning, these young girls and these ladies, and somebody's got to pray for our high school. Somebody's got to pray for our children. We've got to become a house of prayer, as Jesus said. There's statistics that I read that I wanted to share with you today. And we ask ourselves, why do we need to be a praying church? We need to be a praying church to impact the neighborhoods. We need to be a praying church to impact people today. Think about it. If somebody somewhere, I was reading this, somebody somewhere long ago sacrificed for you to be able to hear the gospel that you hear today. Nobody in the room, let me make sure. Nobody in this room was alive in the 1500s. 1600s. 1700s. 1800s. I'm going to stop right there. Because this next one's going to get about all of us, except some of these youth. But somebody even in the 15, 14, 13, 12, all the way down, somebody sacrificially gave of their life that you and I can sit here and hear this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Not only that, but I thought about, and I want to bring this down to our local church, and again, I'm mindful and I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but somebody prayed for you long before you ever showed up here, because this church is about 90, give or take, 92, 93 year old. Somebody 90 years ago fell under the burden of the Thomasville Church of God and began to pray for this church. We have a few members that's older, Darlene's mother, Sister Walker, Carolyn, a few more. Carolyn's not that old, but she was there with her parents as they were a part of the lineage of this church. Somebody prayed for you and somebody prayed for me. And we're today, Brother Allen, the recipients of our granny and grandpa and grandma, and however we ended up here at the Thomasville Church of God, somebody prayed. So we should be praying for another generation. There's some statistics again that says each year millions of people look at the internet. Now watch this. Chris, you'll enjoy these statistics. I thought about you when I thought about the statistics. I don't do statistics. And it says each year it says millions of people look to the internet for answers to their deepest hearts and longings. And it went on to say that Google alone, anybody know who Google is? That Google's a smart one. And it says Google alone, watch this, sees almost 3 million inquiries they call it, 3 million on Google alone in search of hope. Hope. People somewhere typing in their computer the word hope. 3 million. Because there's that many people that is looking for something. Think about it. Think how you and I can make a difference in somebody's life when you and I begin to pray. When you and I begin to impact a city. I don't know how it all is going to come together, and I hope I'm not doing just preaching tonight. I hope this is something that gets a hold of us. I remember years ago that we came over to the gazebo and we had a prayer service downtown, and I really didn't have a lot of folks involved in it, and I just sort of winged it and got out there on my own a little bit and tried to get it to happen, and we had probably 40 people show up downtown in Thomasville at the gazebo. I went to downtown. I went to the city office down there. I reserved the gazebo. I told them what I was going to do. I wanted to have a prayer meeting downtown. I wanted to rent the gazebo for the day or whatever, use it or whatever. And Tracy, Tony came. Tony came to that event. There was others that came and a few others that joined in and people helped me. And we just went downtown and prayed. But I wonder how many people would go to the gazebo now and have a prayer meeting downtown Thomasville if a pastor organized a prayer meeting downtown Thomasville. Will you come? And just have a prayer meeting down there. We're just calling people together for prayer. That's all we're doing. We're not going to throw nothing on nobody. We're not going to, you know. But my point is there's so many people in our city. More than 65, watch this, 65 million Americans age 12 and older abuse or addicted to drugs or alcohol. Now, these are current statistics. 65 million Americans ages 12 and older that are addicted to drugs or alcohol. In the year 2021, are y'all ready for this? In the year 2021, watch this. There was enough people to fill up the Dallas Cowboy or any other NFL football stadium. I don't know how many they hold. I have no clue. I know they hold sometimes 65 to 75,000 people. Could you imagine that? In a football stadium. Now watch this. In 2021, according to statistics, there was 107,000 people in the United States of America alone that died from drug overdoses in the United States of America in the year 2021. Let that sink in. Why did I mention a football stadium? Because a football stadium will fill about 75,000 people, give or take, depending on the stadium. That many people. But this is not just, Robert, you know this, it's not just 2021. It's been doing this for years. Years. Is there a reason the church needs to impact its community? Is there any reason we need to be praying for our young people? Is there any reason that we as a church can stand and intercede on behalf of a loved one that's struggling? And 107,000 people in 2021. And the statistic went on to say that 75% of that was due to opioid addiction. Heroin, painkillers, pain pills, etc. Fentanyl, etc. So we see these statistics today. Not only that, we see that more than 23 million Americans feel so hopeless. 23 million Americans, and I got to put my glasses on. That is 7%, Brother Chris, 7% of the nation's population struggle with depression, and over 47,000 people per year commit suicide in the United States of America. That's why we need to impact our city. Let me go on. We're not done. We're close, but we're not done yet. And then we see this, and it says that there's an estimated 40 million people in the United States feel trapped or crippled by fear. And it went on to say that they have become their own prisoners to anxiety. And I'm not here tonight to glorify the devil. I'm not here to say anything that would bring any type of attention to anything that the enemy is doing. I'm just saying that we as a church need to pray. And I know tonight that when we think about the things that I've said here to you, that Jesus is the reason that we've got to exist. We've got to keep pointing men, women, boys, and girls to being free. You say, well, does Jesus really free people today? Does it really work today, preacher, as it worked back then? I don't believe God went out of business. Now, I'm going to show you something, then we're going to go to the house here shortly. Because in the book of Acts, chapter number 12, again, it's actually a scripture that we've talked about many, many times. And you look in Acts chapter 12, verse number 1. It was when the enemy didn't want the message to be preached. And the Bible says is they were there, and there was a time, and it says that Herod the king, and you can read about Herod. Oh my goodness, what an evil, wicked man. Herod was an evil, wicked man. And it says he stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. In other words, Satan was trying to stop the church. We need to pray because we have an enemy. The Bible teaches you and the Bible teaches me to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It was happening back then. Now watch this. We look at the scripture and we can see that how that verse number 2, and it says, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Verse number 3, this James was the son of Zebedee. Verse number 3, the Bible said, and it pleased, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he further proceeded to take Peter also. Then was the days of unleavened bread. It was Passover time. So they took Peter, they put him in jail. The Bible says that in verse number 4, that they put him in prison, and they delivered him to 4 quarantines of soldiers. 4 quarantines is actually, when we think about that, that is 16 men. It was 16 men that they encircled around Peter and told him, if you do one thing wrong, we're going to take you out. Had permission to do so, but not because it was the Passover, they were going to wait. So they put Peter in jail to keep him intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. But yet here's the thing. All the statistics that I read to you are people that are in prison. They may not be in physical bars. But yet in the same regard, you know people in prison. Prison in their mind. Prison in their spirit. Prison in fear of anxiety. Prison in fear of lifestyles that don't bring glory and please God. Prison of addiction, prison of all kinds of abuse. But yet we've got to be a praying church for that reason. We can see this again, Peter in jail and Peter in the inner prison. The Bible said Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer, think about it. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Why do we need prayer ambassadors? Why do we need prayer warriors? Why do we need people praying? It's because somebody, Brother Robert, perfect example, is dependent on you. You can read the rest of the story of Peter where the Bible said and how that Herod would have brought him forth. The same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. Think about that. Think about that in your mind's eye. Peter bound in chains and all the quarantines of soldiers that were quarantarians of soldiers that was there guarding Peter. That the Bible said, in verse number 7, the Bible said, and behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off. But remind you, the church was being made for Peter on behalf of the church, and the church prayed without ceasing. And you say, does God really send angels today? I don't know how all that works. You say, preacher, have you ever had an angelic encounter? I think I've had a few. I'm not going to take the time tonight to go back through that and rehearse those. But still, God is afoot when the church is praying. The church was heard and God sent an angel. God sent a messenger from heaven and interceded on Peter's behalf. I'm going to shut my Bible, because this gets a little long at the bottom. But he says that he rose up and his chains fell off from his hands. He went through the ward, the inner ward, the gates, and then it was the latter part. He went through that iron gate that led to the city. Don't you think that was a camp meeting? How many times Peter actually got to tell that story? I was in jail. But I knew I was in jail, but I also knew that they were praying. I was in jail and I was in bonds. they were praying. I think today that I am part of the recipient of my granny's prayers. That granny loved old Alan so much that granny wouldn't give up on me. I'd go to granny's house to check out her refrigerator, not that I was hungry, but just to see what she had in it, out of habit more than anything. I just wanted to see if she had anything that didn't look interesting. She never had a whole lot. But I'd go down there and my granny'd say, "Son, you coming to church Sunday?" I'd say, "No," with my attitude, that old smart aleck attitude. I never was a smart aleck to my granny. But I thought, I wish she'd hush. I wish she'd just hush and not ask me to come to church again. But you know what, Robert? I look back on it. I'd give it about anything. I say anything. That's loose statement. Just to talk to my granny one more time and say thank you. Thank you for your prayers, Granny. Thank you for your prayers. My granny was 94, my dad's mother. The morning that she passed away, Horace met my granny. Sure did. Darlene, they met my granny. The morning that my granny passed away, I was on the side of the bed, 6:30 in the morning, getting my shoes on. I told Sherry, I said, "I don't want to see my granny like that." And my pastor, my wife here, my lovely wife that helps me, she says, "Well, maybe Granny wants to see you." Just so much wisdom sometimes comes out of her. She said, "Maybe Granny needs to see you or wants to see you." I was putting my shoes on, and Brother West, my aunt, called and said she passed away just a little bit ago. So I left my granny on a good note, Horace, there in the nursing home. I have good memories of my granny. You have good memories of people in your life. But think about where you might not be today if you had not had the church or somebody praying for you. And I said all of that to try to encourage us to be a people of prayer. You may think I've prayed before and nothing happened. Pray again. Because it's God's timing. Children right now, most of the time we have some that almost just tear us up on the inside, don't we? Children, grandchildren. We'd like to pinch their, Sherry used to tell our kids, I'm gonna pinch your head off. I had an Aunt Ruby, great Aunt Ruby. Every time I got around her, she'd pinch you on the cheek, just grab them little fat cheeks of these youngins. Sometimes life is bitter. Sometimes it's hard. Thank God somebody's praying. You think, well, this is not how I thought this service would go. Well, I didn't know how it would go. All I knew is I had it on my heart to share with you what I shared with you. But I just want to ask you to do this one thing and we'll go. Would you, 2023, with me, determine that we're going to become and be a people of prayer? I want to do that. I want to seek God and get after Him. I'm believing for families. Part of what I want to get into a little bit later, as God sort of leads me, is I want to call our families in. Our loved ones and family members that you may know that we can encourage and people that we can reach out to. That's part of what's on my heart right now. Stand with me if you will. I want you to do something with me before we call it a day. Have you got somebody on your heart right now that you could pray for? Do you know somebody that might be in one of the situations that I mentioned to you? Would you take just a few minutes to knock upon heaven's door? Peter was delivered because I believe that God heard the prayers of the saints. Amen. He had a lot of work for Peter to do, and it probably wasn't time for Peter to go, but he had to get him out of that prison. but it could have very easily went another direction. But prayer was made without ceasing for Peter. I want you to pray for us this evening. Pray for our loved ones. Pray for my dad. Pray for my mom. She's about as in bad a shape as daddy is. They just need a lot of prayer right now. But I want you to get something on your heart and on your mind right now, whoever it is. And I want you to ask God to bring that person to Him. Father, we love You tonight and we do thank You. And we thank You, Father God, tonight because of who You are. And because, Lord, as Brother Bobby said this morning in prayer, that in You we live, we move, and we have our being. And God, without You, we cannot do anything at all. Father, we are so dependent upon You tonight, God, to touch us, Your people. Father, I pray for my son tonight. I pray for him to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I pray for my daughter. I pray, God, for our grandchildren. I pray, God, for our family members that are lost and those that are away from You. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would go to where they're at even right now, and that, God, that You would begin to show them Your way. Father, I pray that You would bring them to a place of repentance. Bring them to a place, God, that they would turn their heart from sin to salvation. All around this room, God, there's no distance in prayer. Father, we can pray for people in other countries. We can pray for people in other cities. We can pray for people in other states. God, I just pray that all around this room, as we have somebody on our minds, that Holy Spirit, that You would touch. That Holy Spirit, that You would save them and deliver them and set them free. If you have someone tonight, God, that's filled with anxiety, God, calm them tonight. Lord, let them cast all their care upon You. Somebody, God, that's in addiction, and there's plenty of that everywhere you go. Father, let them lay the drugs down. Let them lay the alcohol down. Let them lay all of it down at the cross. And God, let them know that without shadow of a doubt that they can be delivered and set free. And God, that young person today that might be a cutter, that might be going through things that we don't know anything about, Father, would You touch them tonight? Would You set them free? Father, that homeless person, wherever they may be, wherever they're at this evening, Lord, let them know that there's hope in Jesus. Those that are hopeless and those that seemingly have no place to turn, Father, let them know they can turn to You. And Father, that lawyer, that rich man that's dependent upon his riches, that one, God, that don't seem to have a need in the world, but yet, God, they're miserable on the inside because they don't have Jesus. God, turn their hearts to You. Give us, as the Thomasville Church of God, a desire to be in Your presence. And we thank You in advance for that You're doing, in Jesus' name. Amen. I know this morning we were in a great hurry to get out of here, and a lot of folks might not have had the opportunity to stop by back there. And you say, what if there's two people on one day? Fantastic. Wonderful. Just sign up and say, I'm going to take next Thursday and pray. I'm going to be a prayer ambassador that day to represent people to God. And I need your help. The church needs your help. We need one another. God bless you. Shake hands and come out.